This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Caroline and Uma with you. This is the all-new evening edition. Next up, are you old enough to remember the lyrics to this one? That's right. We did build cities on rock and roll. No, actually, they're not actually made of rock and roll. There's an article in The Atlantic today that talks about smart cities. And it's a really interesting piece which questions what a smart city actually is.
Yep.
So the writer Bruce Sterling begins the article by talking about how it's this snazzy political label that, you know, he says, coined by a modern alliance of leftist urbanites and tech industrialists.
Indeed,
right?
But what does that translate to really, right? In practical, real-world terms, there's no definition of what a smart city is. I mean, we sort of have it in our mind, what we think it is, and everybody really does have a different definition. I mean, considering how big it is here in Malaysia, you know, Putrajaya is a smart city, Sabah. We were so excited when they were coming, what exactly is it?
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess the question we have to ask ourselves is, who is the city smart for?
Mm.
So he opens his piece by talking about London, and he says, you know, it's an old city, it's a god-awful urban mess, and yet people refer to London as a smart city because, you know, that's where all the best international smart city conferences take place. Mm. And while London may not necessarily be a smart city for its citizens, mm-hmm. I have to say that I think London's a very smart city as a city in the sense that its response to emergencies, that CCTV coverage that he kind of lambasts in the article, actually serves London as a city very well, if not necessarily its citizenry.
But this is exactly what he means. He's talking about the different definitions, and that would be yours and why you think London is a smart city. However, he goes on to argue that cities of the future will not be smart or well-engineered, cleverly designed, just, clean, fair,
right.
You know, all these things that we have in mind. He says the future smart city will be the internet. It'll be a mobile cloud deployed by City Hall, mostly for the sake of making towns more attractive to capital, you know, because if you do it right, it'll increase soft power of the more alert and ambitious towns and make the mayors look more electable. Or when it's done wrong, it'll much resemble the ragged downsides of what he calls the previous waves of urban innovation. So things like railways, for example,
yeah.
Electrification, freeways, oil pipelines. He talks about the toxic blowback that even the wisest urban planner could never expect, because this is true, right? You can future proof only as far as you can see,
yes.
As much as you can anticipate.
And that's going to be the interesting intersection, right? This idea that somehow the virtual world and the real world kind of connects.
Yes, but even in, you know, the most sophisticated of industries, so you look at space technology, for
yeah.
example, you know, by its very nature is sophisticated, and yet it's given a space trash.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
It has. But I think, you know, the idea of a great smart city, Caroline, is one that has great trash management.
That's also true. That's very true.
Now, we have on the line the CEO of Media Urban, Maria Cisternas, a company involved in the creation of urban strategies and digital solutions for cities around the world. Maria, thank you so much for joining us. What's your definition of a smart city?
So my definition of a smart city is a city that uses technology to solve problems that traditionally means that the business as usual would not solve. For example, at Media Urban, my company, we always follow the changes in many cities of the world, and we are seeing now how there is a global trend for the sharing economy. For example, in the field of mobility. People organize themselves, and there are plenty of solutions that are completely changing the paradigm of owning a car. Many initiatives for which people, instead of having a car, can actually use one. You don't really buy a car, you use it when you need it. So the same will tend to happen with many other services, and this is a change that in a way is responding to the people's needs to get affordable services on the one hand that are more fair deals and that help them carry on the complex daily life that we all have. So that's my definition of a smart city.
Right. But Maria, you know, one of the questions that's, I guess, being raised in the opinion piece we're reading today is whether tech and digital solutions can actually solve all the problems that a city faces, right? I mean, existing cities obviously have physical limitations to being smart. And what this article says is, you know, technology has evolved in such a way that it transcends physical boundaries. You're sort of slapping the internet on top of what is a rather rigid and immovable infrastructure. So can you share with us your response to that?
No, of course not, because cities are contradictory. Cities are conglomerations of people, and there is an urban conflict that's going to be permanent forever there. What technology can do is add a layer of service, and in a way, the layer of the technology on the one hand can do two things. First of all, have more access. And secondly, and very importantly, technology can follow in real time the patterns of movement of people in the city, which means that then we have more data. And this means that technology can eventually, if used with intelligence, can be used to better plan how cities work. But of course, technology cannot solve everything. The only thing that can solve cities is people. People are using technology in their daily lives, and we're going to see how people are using increasingly e-commerce platforms. But then again, citizens need to have criteria on how they use technology. For example, there is a huge debate on whether technology is actually favoring globalization or can be a tool to combat the local production into the cities. Well, my contention is that this depends on the education of people. If people are sensibilized with the factor that we need to bring back local production, we need to better understand what we consume, This means that there is a lot of opportunity for smart cities to bring back local production into cities.
Yeah, that's an interesting proposition, that if technology is used properly, it can encourage local production. And Maria, talk to us about what the most important factors should be in any kind of development.
Well, I think, first of all, any designer of a city needs to have a consciousness that their design will last for 500 years. This means that there has to be a consciousness that what they do it for now, and it's going to be the legacy for future generations. This means that cities need to be flexible and open, and that technology can will be for sure evolving and will be more usable, more user-friendly. It will be developed by many other players. But what I think a smart city has to, the differential of a smart city when planned, is that it has to understand that it is not only a collection of buildings, that a smart city is a community. It is a way of living for which all aspects of city life, sustainability, consumption, energy production, retail, affordable housing, have to be taken into account. And the way to manage this is to get constant data and to constantly try to improve the way the city works.
Right. And if we're not careful, I guess, where do you think we can possibly go wrong in our aspiration towards building smart cities?
I think the smart city movement has no contrary, in the sense that, that it hasn't been planned. There's no one in any part of the world deciding that the future of city depends on technology. There has been an internet revolution. There has been a paradigm shift in the way people own their home, people own a car, and the sharing economy is there to stay. And the knowledge economy has also changed the basis on how the wealth of countries is produced. So in that sense, the smart layer is a layer that is a consequence of all these changes. My fear, or I think the dangerous part of it, what urban planners and leaders and politicians need to take into account is that we don't have to run. The smart city is something that has not to be imposed, because when trying to impose it, there are many companies that want to introduce their service, and there are many cities that fostering their smart agenda are buying things that are not necessary. In that sense, I would say be patient and follow the ecosystem of local entrepreneurs, of universities, of small companies that really know the problems of a city, and they are the ones that are going to bring with them smart solutions that solve real problems for people's life.
Thank you very much, Maria, for sharing all of that with us. That was Maria Cisternas, CEO of Media Urban, talking about smart cities. Yeah, where are we going to go from here? How do we fix our cities? How do we actually, you know, stop these giant pillars of rock and concrete from crumbling to the ground while we lock ourselves into virtual worlds?
Yeah, I guess you need to start with a universal definition.
That's one way to start. However, I think we should also listen to Starship with We Built This City on BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.